your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing our focus broadly on the markets and diving into a couple individual sectors. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. In this segment, I am featuring Dana Lyons. He is a fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, you and I chat pretty much every 2 weeks. And I think it's important right now to go back 2 weeks and recap some of the stuff you were outlining, some of the factors and the models that you were watching post-election. Now, the last time we chatted, I think it was just a day or two after the election, and you were sharing some of the positions that you guys were taking. You had outlined that breadth looked good, you had started to really load up on the markets, and quite frankly, that strategy has worked very nicely. Give us a little bit of a recap from 2 weeks ago and what we've seen so far in these markets and some of the positions you've taken.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Corey. Always good to be on your show. Yeah, so I'll backtrack even a little bit further. Maybe in August, we started seeing some breadth warnings, some warnings in our risk model. We call it an intermediate term risk model. It's comprised of a number of indicators. A lot of it has to do with the breadth in the market. So how many stocks are moving up versus moving down in a broad sense, a lot of proprietary computations. But in a broad sense, a lot of breadth indications. In August, it started thinning out despite the continued rally in the large cap averages. And so we pulled in our horns a little bit. And in September, we saw a pullback. And we frankly, we expected our model, which turned positive in April, we expected to get a sell signal. But funny thing happened in early October. It actually, we saw breadth, market internals, and an array of market sectors and segments actually rejuvenated and kind of started to take off to the upside again. So we saw an expansion in breadth. We saw some breakouts in some of the smaller and mid-cap areas. Some of the lagging areas started to catch up. So far from giving a sell signal, it actually, our model firmed up quite a bit. So that was a key moment, I think, in terms of this rally, was that first half of October. And then the second half, I think, was all about, A, sentiment got a little ramped up into mid-October, a little too much bullishness. But the rest of October was all about kind of a relaxation of that sentiment, a little bit of pulling back in the rampant bullishness. And then also most of it was about a spike in fear, a bid in volatility expectations, all surrounding the election. So you saw the bid in volatility. I think a lot of people extrapolated it to overall general market fears. But I think we looked at a few research pieces that we did back in the time, and it suggested that, no, it's all about the election. And once you get past there, there's no indication of any, you know, volatility bid necessarily. So building up, we had that pullback in right into just before the election. We had kind of a perfect storm of a buy signal for us. We had increasing bearish sentiment. We had spike in fear. We had on the charts, we had a technical pullbacks back towards key support levels in a wide array of sectors and indices. And then at the same time, you had this underlying improvement in the market internals and the breadth of the, and then the foundation of the stock market. So I think, well, a lot of people I heard with, and the pundits on TV, was watch out for a spike in volatility, some market chaos if we have this disputed or unresolved election. And just looking at the market indicators, it was about as clear and as rampant a bullish signal as we've gotten in a while. So yeah, we loaded up right before that Wednesday to Friday, right before the election. And you know, obviously 2 weeks later, the rest is history. We've had about the best post-election rally ever. So not to toot our own horns, I think the point is that I would make is if you're when you're making investment decisions, it's best to rely on the quantitative objective data coming from the market itself, rather than trying to forecast and predict based on exogenous events like the election and what's going to happen in the aftermath and other, like you mentioned off the air, various fundamental pieces of data that typically don't change until well after the stock has turned. So I think, the point being, the data was pretty clear to us that it was a great buying opportunity right before the election. And again, the last 2 weeks would bear that out. And at this point, obviously you're late to the game, but there's no evidence yet to suggest that, the move is necessarily over.
Hey, good job on that trade, though, Dana, because even as you've outlined it, the market rally has really flown in the face of a lot of the fear that we were hearing about, riots and a contested election. The fact of the matter is the market went up, about 12% in 2 weeks? That is a very fast move. But now that leaves the question of, what do you do now? You said, fine, you might be a little bit late to the party, but your data is still looking fairly positive currently, isn't it?
It is. The breath measures have not relaxed at all. It's still very firm. And the other, that plays into another consideration that gives people opportunity right now still. And that's the expansion in the number of groups that have participated. So you have some of the older relative strength areas that have been moving well since the March low, even before that, stuff like healthcare and technology, some of those leaders that really peaked out in maybe the early September. And basically have gone sideways. They've consolidated over the last several months, which is not unhealthy after you have a huge run. So those are primed, we think, for another upside resolution and another up leg, even as some of the newer relative strength areas that have run so much over the last couple weeks and since early October, they're playing catch up. Maybe they're getting a little bit extended. So. Our tact has been to take a little bit of profits off the table in those newer areas that got extended over the last few days, and rolling a little bit back into those older relative strength areas that, by just a glance at the headlines and some Twitter stream and stuff, it looks like a lot of people are trying to write off technology as kind of the dog has had its day and it's doomed from here. We don't see that. We think it's had a nice, healthy consolidation, and it's got it's put itself back into position for another run. Same thing with something like biotech, as it broke out to new highs a couple months ago and has consolidated for several months. I don't see anything unhealthy about that. The healthy thing is that money is rotated elsewhere, even as those sectors have held up well. So it's been a very good, it's probably the best trading environment we've seen in a long time. Whether you're talking about the array of areas that have been good performers, or the fact that they kind of ping pong back and forth. The newer stuff will be have a good day as the older relative strength stuff kind of stagnates, so you can trim some, add to the other, and it kind of goes back and forth. So nothing unhealthy about that. In fact, it's creates a lot of opportunities, and I think there's still opportunity there.
Yeah, and you know what? That's actually the sign of a very healthy market, right? And even to your point about tech and people saying the tech day is over, we have to remember tech was doing well before the pandemic too, right? So most people were pointing to some sort of government regulation that could throw tech off, and who knows, we still might get that, but hard to bet on something like that happening. And even when we have seen governments step up to some of these big tech companies, they have more or less weathered that kind of negative storm. Let's talk about some of the other lagging sectors, though. We have seen money broadly kind of flow out of some of the safer sectors. You and I talk about gold and gold miners. Those have been correcting, especially gold miners. They've been correcting for 4 months now. We're heading into the end of the year, typically a sign of or a seasonal weakness period for the gold miners and gold price. are these stocks, are the gold miners finally getting to levels where they're attractive again for you?
They're getting close. Our take, as we've discussed many times, is the precious metals complex is in a bull market. We deal in ETFs, so we're long GLD, SLV, GDX, that type of thing. Well, GLD ran up a couple months ago. I think it was in August, maybe topped up. Ran up right up to those highs from 2011. Okay, so we took some profits off the table there. We expected, at least we hope for a nice, healthy consolidation, kind of give the sector a chance to refuel for a more healthy and sustainable breakout when it does try to break out to new highs. And that's what's going on now. We've seen that for the last 3-4 months or so. And again, I don't think that's unhealthy. We'll add back those profits that we took out, what we're looking to add back, starting with a little bit, maybe just below here, around 172 on GLD. And then if we break down further, we've got levels below that too that we would add to. But I don't think it's like technology and healthcare that we talked about. We had huge runs. You can't expect things to go up forever. The way they consolidate, the way they handle it when they stop going up is your key. If they go sideways, that's healthy. It suggests a continuation pattern, another upside resolution, another up leg. If they collapse immediately, well, maybe that's the end of the story, the end of the road. We haven't seen that in technology, healthcare, and we're not seeing it in the precious metals market. We're getting a good pullback, sure, but one that we expected. And you look at the gold miners, GDX, for example, ran up right almost to that 61.8% retracement from the 2011 high. The Fib retracement almost ran up to that right to the penny back in early August as well, and has consolidated from there. It's been a nice, healthy pullback, and now we're looking to add back some of the exposure that we took off back then at resistance. So I don't think I don't see any reason, any evidence yet why the precious metals bull market is over. Just at this point, it looks like a healthy consolidation, healthy retracement, and maybe even a bull flag. So we expect eventually another up leg to this.
Okay. Final comment. Let's also talk about copper. Not a metal that we have talked about regularly at all, but at the end of this week, copper went through a pretty significant breakout. Is this something you're buying into? Do you see this being sustainable?
Yes, for the intermediate term, which again we—it's basically our time frame that we deal with in investing. Is basically call it 2 to 6 months, and it could extend from there. But at this point, are we buying here? No, but we bought. We had a pretty significant breakout, I guess, in September, and came back. I guess earlier this month, maybe end of October, early November, came back, tested that breakout level, which is where we did buy into copper. And at this point, I think seeing some, getting close to really some profit taking this point in copper in the near term. But in the intermediate term, like I said, no reason to think this can't continue even higher, even though, relative to 2011, certainly hitting lower highs. But we are long copper, and we think the intermediate term should have more upside to it.
Hey, Dana, it's great having you on the show, buddy. Thank you for more or less the recap of the last couple weeks and some of the positions that you have been in. Dana, great chatting with you, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.